At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The New York Jets may not be playing for anything as far as playoffs, or maybe they are playing for something as far as draft pick, but there are individual players on this team that have a lot to play for, and that's going to be a big focus of this episode as we talk about the top five players with a lot to get done, not just this week, but going through the rest of the season. So we're going to talk about that here on the Flight Plan. We're also going to get into Tyrod Taylor's back in the starting lineup. Obviously, we covered that earlier in the week, but Aaron Glenn has now spoken about that, and Brady Cook as well. We'll talk about Brandon Stevens, get you ready for the Ravens game, and of course, picks at the end. So a lot to get to. Thanks for joining us here on Flight Plan. I'm Tim McMaster. He is Zach Rosenblatt. Please like the show wherever you're watching it or listening. Welcome to the Baggage Handlers on YouTube. Love you guys. Thanks for checking us out again. I know it's short notice, but hopefully we get some good numbers today. Give us a 5-star review and give us a comment too. We have, you know what? We're almost to the holiday season here, Zach. So it's time to get the comments going. We should do what we've done in the past, which is, I think, between now and the end of the year, at the end of the year, we can go through and we'll read the best comments in the review section on Apple. To get the numbers going there. The other thing I will say is that we are closing in a little bit on the next milestone of followers on YouTube. So let's keep building the YouTube numbers as well. How are you doing?
I think I'm doing better than you. You're sick, right?
Do I sound like I've been smoking for the last week? It's not good.
Well, I see in the chat we have a few listeners who are also sick right now. We got Michael Dunn has COVID, and Will says he's off work because he's sick. So
yeah, it's my daughter had this for like 2 weeks and then I finally got it, and it's not great. I had no voice yesterday. If you had said we have to podcast yesterday, Zach, it would have been a slow effort because I had nothing, but it's coming back a little bit today. Hopefully talking through this doesn't ruin it again.
I mean, we could have mimed, I guess, the whole episode if that would have helped.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Do you want to get right into the five guys with the most to prove the rest of the season?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. We're going to do, this is alphabetical order, I believe we're doing here. A.D. Mitchell, number one.
Yeah, you know, not a lot new to add about him, but I just say, like, I was more encouraged than maybe the consensus about him just because he, like, really impressed me in terms of his ability to get open, his athleticism. You know, he showed it with going against Christian Gonzalez for some of that game and getting open. And, you know, he had two drops. There was another pass that Justin Fields missed him pretty terribly, but there's something there. If they can get him to work on his focus and reeling in those catches that are catchable balls, because if you want to be a starter in the NFL, you have to make those catches. And so, you know, I'd say out of this group, I'm most intrigued by him because there's more opportunity at wide receiver to win a starting job for next year than any other position. They clearly wanted him in that sauce trade. So, you know, he's on a rookie contract. So it'd be really, really good for them if you can go into next season and be like, okay, we have Garrett and we at least also have A.D. Mitchell, who we believe has the potential to be a pretty good player. So I'm as the season goes along, he gets more snaps, gets more reps with now Tyrod, who throws a really good deep ball, by the way. So that could be a good match. I'm just curious to see how that goes. Cause I think Fields did throw the ball to him. You know, it wasn't all Fields' fault, but I feel better about the chances of Tyrod delivering the ball to A.D. Mitchell than I did with Justin Fields, obviously. And I'll say the coaches have been raving about A.D. Mitchell. They're very high in his potential. Tanner Angstrand today, we talked to Scott Turner, the passing game coordinator, Aaron Glenn the other day. Like, this group is really, really high in his talent. And so we're going to find out how good they are developing wide receivers, because we don't really know the answer to that yet.
I lied. We're not going to go alphabetically. We're going to go by position. So from A.D. Mitchell, we go to John Mechie.
Yeah, Mechie, he was impressive this last game. I thought he was pretty good. He was getting open. He had the touchdown catch. I don't know if he deserves all the credit for that because the guy fell. But he had another big catch later in the game. And it's like I just said with Mitchell, to a lesser degree, because I don't envision him as like a no doubt number two or number three guy, even probably with his ceiling. But if he can just be a depth piece at wide receiver, then you go in. Again, you don't have to completely revamp that room. Where if you could say, okay, we have Garrett, A.D. Mitchell, and Mechie. Maybe A.D. Mitchell and Mechie aren't like guarantees for anything, but we don't have to feel like we need to overdo it at wide receiver and overpay somebody or whatever it is. And so they need to add a no doubt number two receiver, I think, whether that's the draft or free agency. But after that, I think there's jobs to be won with those two guys and, you know, however they work the margins, things like that. So he's another guy that he played the most snaps out of any of their receivers last week, which is surprising. It seems like Arian Smith's honestly fallen behind these guys, which isn't great for him. So those two have a chance, like I said. I mean, Mechie is technically going to be a free agent this offseason, but there's no reason to think he couldn't play his way back onto the team.
There is a common thread through the first three of these, which is new faces here, which makes a lot of sense. Got to impress when you're new on the scene. So up next, Jarvis Brownlee.
Yeah, I think he came out of the gates really strong and surprising in those first couple of games, where he's brought like such good energy, you know, big hitter, you know, making plays as the nickel. I think the last couple of weeks he's fallen back into his bad habits that he had in Tennessee, which includes the penalties. I don't have the numbers in front of me. Let me pull this up actually real quick, because he's had a lot of penalties the last couple of weeks. And that was the biggest criticism against him over there. And here, let's see, I got it here. He had three penalties against the Patriots and three penalties against the Browns. Like, that's six penalties in 2 weeks. That is not good. Not only that, but he had the play where the receiver, DeMario Douglas, catches it. Brownlee doesn't secure him on the ground. And so he gets another like 15 yards. Like, that was just, you know, poor awareness. And I still think he has talent. He's young. I think we forget already that he's only in his second year, because they traded for him. And a lot of times when you trade for a guy, it's just like, I don't know, feel like it's in your head that they're a veteran or something like that. Mm-hmm. But he is still learning. He's getting reps that not a lot of fifth or sixth round picks, whatever he was, get. I still think you go into next year feeling like he's your nickel, but I think he needs to, over these last seven games, prove that he's, again, like your no doubt nickel corner, because we don't know. There's another guy on this list we're going to talk about. Brandon Stevens, the only one it's funny to say if you had this conversation before the season, but Brandon Stevens is the only one I feel absolutely confident going into next season as like a starting caliber guy that we can like feel like good about that. Like, as we sit here right now, other guys have to prove it. And that includes Brownlee. He needs to bounce back from these games. He needs to grow from his mistakes. I think he's a guy in this locker room that they really like, but he's a guy that the coaching staff, if they're a good defensive backfield coaching staff, which I think they are, or at least they should be, he's a guy that I have my eye on that should go into next year a lot better than right now.
All right, and another guy in the secondary, A.Z. Thomas.
Yeah, that's what I was just alluding to. You know, he missed last week because of a concussion. He'll be back this week. He showed some flashes. There's been some mistakes, but he's still early in his... Like, when they drafted him, the idea was he was going to be a project this year. I don't think the plan was to really play him much. The season went off the rails, and you trade Sauce Gardner, like the combo of those two things, and you speed up the process a bit. But yeah, he's... You know, out of these guys we're all mentioning, he's the one that, like, in theory, he should be their starter as their cornerback two next season. But if we go through these next 7 weeks and he doesn't show that he deserves that, they have to at least look into other options this offseason. Whereas if he plays as well as they're very high in his potential, and if he plays up to that talent, then you don't have to invest as heavily in the cornerback position this offseason. And so it's going to be really telling. And you know, it'll be, if they can go into next season feeling good about their top three starters at corner, like they did all those years with Sauce and DJ Reed and Michael Carter, like if you can go in feeling like that level of confidence, maybe it's not a Sauce level confidence because you don't have like the no doubt shutdown guy, and maybe you're still going to try and get a corner like that. But I think if you have three solid cornerbacks, you can feel pretty good about it. You know, I do think I have more concerns about the schematics and the coaching on defense this season, frankly, than all the players. I do think the talent level has gone down quite a bit. I don't know that Steve Wilkes has always put them in position to best succeed. And so, you know, maybe a new scheme might help some of these guys in some ways, but yeah, you know, I have a close eye on AZ Thomas's development going forward, I would say.
All right. And then the fifth guy that you have is a little different than the others. We talked about those other guys being new to the team or being, you know, young first year players. It's Jamien Sherwood.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's been a disappointment this season. I think everybody that listens would agree. You know, he's been okay against the run if you look at like the grades on PFF or whatever, but I don't think the eye test really matches that necessarily. Coverage, he's been brutal. He's 42nd to 65 in coverage grade. He's allowed two touchdowns, 121 quarterback rating, and 31 catches on 31 targets. But even more than all of that, like he's supposed to be like the captain of this team, and he's taken over for CJ Mosley. Those are big shoes to fill. And so like a lot of the mistakes they're making in this defense and being in the wrong place or the poor communication, it's not all on him, but he's the middle of the defense. He's supposed to get everybody in the right place. And maybe that wasn't a role he was ready for. I don't know. Maybe he'll grow into it, but he needs to show over these next seven games that he can be their no doubt middle linebacker, to where you don't have to feel like you either have to overpay Quincy to bring him back, or you don't have to go out and draft somebody early, or you don't have to go out and pay another linebacker because you're not sure that Jamien Sherwood can like do what he needs in the middle of this defense. And I have my eye on, and actually at some point we're gonna do an offseason pod. I think they're gonna try and sign Alex Anzalone this offseason, the linebacker for the Lions, because him and Aaron Glenn are like best friends and he knows Aaron Glenn front and back. And so that would help fix a lot of the issues. But I do think him and Sherwood are kind of redundant in a way. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. Sherwood's not going anywhere. His contract makes it so if they get rid of him this offseason, they lose money. And so I don't see them doing that. I still think he can be a good player, but He's a big reason why this defense has been disappointing, because he was supposed to be someone they were built around.
When a team is where the Jets are, everybody has something to prove as far as the roster goes, whether it's to stay put here or to impress somebody else and stay in the league. But A.D. Mitchell, A.Z. Thomas, John Metchie, Jarvis Brownlee, Jamien Sherwood, Zach's picks with the most on the line here. This week and going through the second half of the season.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Tyrod Taylor at quarterback. We talked about this a lot, obviously, in the earlier pod this week, but it was almost fully from the Justin Fields angle of what to do with Justin Fields and all of that. So now that we're actually getting ready to for the Jets to take on the Ravens on Sunday, you have Tyrod. So we've seen him this year, obviously, before the injury. What Tyrod do you expect to see again? Is it the typical thing where he might have three touchdowns and four interceptions, but he's going to throw the ball deep and maybe this offense is more fun?
Yeah. I mean, you just never know what Tyrod you're going to get is kind of how it goes with him. But I just think you have a professional quarterback who knows what he's doing out there. He does hold onto the ball too long. He does have some health issues in terms of staying healthy. I mean, he would have been their quarterback already. He was going to be their quarterback for that Bengals game. And then Fields had the whole emotional thing when the week of Woody, which feels like a lifetime ago. And, you know, Tyrod, to a degree, is trying to show that he still has something left in the tank. So teams would still want him next year. I don't think he has plans to retire. And you know, broadly speaking, people view him as a quality backup quarterback, and there's a lot of spots from the NFL that they could use him. But I think this is him trying to show that he deserves like a Joe Flacco type of shot to play for a team. And so he's going to be highly motivated. His teammates love him. I think he's a good leader. I think he is not going to be afraid to throw the ball, which has been the issue with Fields. I think he goes through his progressions a little bit better. And ultimately, and this is the cliche that it's a cliche at this point, because I keep saying it, like they need to evaluate everybody else on offense, and Tyrod is better served to do that than Justin Fields. The fear now is that Tyrod, as it always happens, because he has really bad luck, gets hurt again, and you have to play Justin Fields as soon as this week, in theory, because he's going to be the QB2, is what Aaron Glenn said. Brady Cook is not ready for that, I guess, in their mind. Although Glenn did leave the door open to that becoming a thing later. We could talk about that later. Yep. But I'm curious to see how he looks. I'm curious to see how Tyrod looks. He's, you know, this is a team he's familiar with. They drafted him. They haven't changed a lot in terms of, I mean, their scheme that's changed because they have different coordinators and stuff. But John Harbaugh's still the coach, and he was the coach when Tyrod was drafted and played on behind Joe Flacco and all that stuff. And so, you know, I just want to see an offense that takes shots downfield, isn't afraid to throw the ball, still leans on the run. Like, they're still a running team. You have to run the ball. You're going against a defense that's improved quite a bit. And so I'm skeptical Tyrod's going to, like, you know, 300 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, but who knows? Like, you know, the Jets are weird like that, and that sometimes I'll randomly have a game like that. So,
but positive net yards and probably more than 60 yards passing.
Yeah. What I'm most curious about Tyrod is how the play calling looks. Like, we saw it to a degree in Tampa, but I think Tanner Engstrand was still finding his footing. It was early in the season. I'm curious to see how Tanner does with a quarterback. Maybe he's more confident in calling passing plays for, and how that affects, you know, they had some QB runs. They didn't have enough of them probably, but will this get Breece Hall involved more in the passing game? Will this, you know, will he show a little bit more creativity when he just believes the quarterback more? And I think they will, but that's going to be a big test for him as well.
Yeah, one more thing to keep an eye on for sure. And you mentioned Brady Cook, and this was the comments from Glenn this week. Still developing. There's been a plan for him from the very beginning. I want to make sure we do what's right for him. Who knows? We'll see what happens as the season progresses. I'm not promising anything, but he knows exactly what his role is when it comes to this team. I'll say right now, Tyrod's a starter.
I mean, that quote is pretty clearly indicating that, like, they have a plan to ramp up his involvement, I would think, but... like by the end, there's no sense of throwing him out there right now. I think maybe you get to the end of the season where it matters less and less. I could see the argument for not playing him because, you know, you see what Brady Cook's like in practice. If you're watching him and you're like, I don't think he's actually going to help us evaluate these guys, then you don't throw him out there. But I want to see what he has. Even if it's just one game, one quarter, whatever it is, like even if it's week 18, I hope they play him at some point just to see if there's a backup in him that you can develop and keep around in the future and things like that. But I mean, the fact that he went out of his way to say, like, we have a plan for him. I don't know. I'm not saying we're going to play him anytime soon or whatever the implication was, but I think it's headed that way to where he's the number two at some point. I don't know when that'll be though.
Well, he's the number two, assuming that Tyrod stays healthy. True. Well, I guess he'd be the number two either way, just in a, he'd be the, at this point, if yeah, Taylor gets hurt, Justin starts again and Brady True. Cook would then be the number two. All right. Brandon Stevens heading back to Baltimore this week. And man, it's been kind of a roller coaster. Brandon Stevens signed the big contract. A lot of people, Jets fans, said the Jets paid too much. Now it's their number one corner. So the money actually kind of makes more sense as far as roster building goes. But according to PFF, the highest graded cornerback in the NFL since week four, Zach, he has really turned the season around after some struggles in those first few games.
Yeah. I think he shut a lot of people up, and you haven't heard a lot of the noise about him. I still think he has his moments sometimes maybe where he makes a play where you don't really understand what he's doing. But I'm just looking at the rankings right now. Yeah, I mean, he's graded pretty well across the board overall, tackling, run defense, coverage, and has he even given up a touchdown in that stretch? He gave up one touchdown. He's just solid. Like, he's just been a solid guy. He's become kind of a pseudo leader on this team. And there's something to be said about not evaluating guys too quickly in the beginning of the season, just letting you know, I mean, it's hard for, I guess, if you're a team that's not a contender right away, I should say, like, if you're a team that's trying to win, you sign a free agent, you need them to play well right away. But this, he was a guy they were taking a flyer on, essentially. I know the contract looks big. It's really not if you look at it relative to starting corners. But he was a guy that needed some development in the sense that, like, his issue in Baltimore was the turning the head around thing and the awareness. He was always, like, tight with the receivers in terms of coverage. That was always the story with him, and he just couldn't turn his head around. And so he didn't make turnovers, and he hasn't done that here, but nobody has, because they have one turnover and no interceptions the entire season. But yeah, he's been a really pleasant surprise and looks like a prudent signing in retrospect, and someone I think is better suited as your CB2, obviously. That's why, you know, we were talking earlier about AZ Thomas, what he can show. They might still have to pursue a corner either way because you need a number one, but he's solid. He just gets the job done. He's a pretty good tackler, and I've been impressed. And, you know, this will be a good test. Lamar knows who he is. Those receivers went against him in practice every day. Like, it's the same group. So it's going to be an interesting matchup for him this week.
Do you think that if he hadn't shown what he's shown since week four, do you think they would have traded Sauce? Do you think it factored? Do the two things are connected?
No, I don't think it factored. I think the Stevens thing is separate from even everything else. Like, I think they signed Stevens hoping that they would get something out of him. And if they didn't, it's not a contract that was, like, so prohibitive, or that he'd be such a bad player that you can't use him as a depth piece next year or, you know, whatever. But I think because he's exceeded what everybody else's expectations were about him, it, you know, maybe it made them a little more comfortable trading Sauce. I don't know if it actually factored into it, though, I would say, because they know he's not as good as Sauce Gardner at the end of the day. So,
The thought of, like, if he had played poorly to this point, like,
yep,
the thought process being, if we trade
Sauce, well, then you're completely revamping. Yeah, then you're revamping your whole corner room at that point. But I think this regime believed in Steven since the beginning, to their credit. So that's why I don't think that was necessarily a factor.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, so the Jets head to Baltimore to face the Ravens. This is a Ravens team that struggled mightily early in the season. Obviously, Lamar Jackson went out and missed a big chunk of time. They were bad during that stretch. They've been bad with him at times also, but lately they seem to have kind of figured it out. They've won four in a row.
Yeah,
they haven't always looked great in those four wins. Even last week, you know, they struggled at times. Again, well, wait, they beat the Browns, right? So they basically were bailed out by Shedeur Sanders and won their fourth in a row. They were able to rally when Shedeur came in and played so poorly. But hey, they're 5-5 now. And considering where they were, suddenly in that division that's very winnable, they have a shot.
I mean, you look at the beginning of the season, their defense was absolutely dreadful. I think they were giving up the most yards and points in the NFL. It was them and the Cowboys, the neck and neck. The Jets got there soon after. But the last 4 weeks, which you mentioned, this four-game winning streak, they have the number one defense in the NFL in terms of EPA. Their defensive coordinator has gotten really clever with his blitz packages and his pass rush, which is going to be interesting with Tyrod. This should be a pretty good test for the O-line. They have Kyle Hamilton at safety, who's just like a, you know, jack-of-all-trades, amazing weapon to have on defense. And they're getting healthy too on defense, which is huge. So it was a crazy thing. Like, you look throughout the season earlier, they're like, whatever they started, what was it? Where were they at their worst? They were 1-5. You look at them at 1-4 and 1-5, they're still the favorites to win their division. Like, that showed you just like how little Vegas respected the Steelers and how much they were just like, yeah, well, when Lamar gets healthy, they'll be fine. Like,
and that was after the Joe Burrow injury.
Yeah. True. But I can't imagine there's been many cases like that. Like the Chiefs, I guess, every year when they start slow, like, and this year they're out of the playoffs right now, which is crazy. But like the Ravens have always been kind of looming in the background. They're like, yeah, they'll figure it out eventually. And I was skeptical and I'm still a little skeptical because they barely beat the Browns. But at the end of the day, you have Lamar, who's top three quarterback in the NFL. You have Derrick Henry. You have Zay Flowers. You have pretty good offensive line and you have some talent on defense. So, and a good coaching staff. So they're going to be in it. If I was putting my money on a team winning the division, I'd probably pick them right now, honestly, as I think the Steelers, Rodgers coming off a terrible game and has a fractured wrist. Bengals, Burrow might be coming back, but I don't know if the hole is too deep for them to climb out of, and the Browns are still the Browns. So funny to think about how quickly things can turn, and the Ravens will be the team that other organizations start using as an example when they start slow as a way like, well, look, the Ravens did it last year. So, but most organizations that are bad don't have Lamar Jackson. So,
yeah. And most teams that are bad, or not all teams that are bad, are in divisions that are in that situation where if they get to 10 wins, it might be enough to win the division. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. The Jets are not playing for a division, but the number one pick, very much obviously something that fan, I don't know if the team's thinking about it. I'm sure they're not. Darren Mooji probably is a little bit, just as far as like, what can we do with all these picks? And if one of them's number one, but you know, it is time to kind of turn our attention to Tankathon a little bit. And right now Jets sitting the five spot.
Yeah.
And we talked about this a little bit on the last episode. That when you, as I was a little slow to pull this up, when you look at who's going to be in front of them at this point, who's in front of them, Tennessee's not going to take a quarterback. Then you have the Giants, you have the Browns, you have the Saints. There's really two teams ahead of them that probably aren't going to go quarterback, the Giants and the Titans. Now, teams could trade up there, but it just makes it interesting because as of right now, if you go to Tankathon's mock draft, they actually have the Jets taking Dante Moore, which I think fans would be pretty excited about. But there's also a lot of people that think Dante Moore won't be in the draft. Yeah.
That's kind of the X factor, is if whether Moore goes in the draft. I mean, things could change always, as they always do with these. But if all three guys are there, then I think you feel pretty good about the Jets' chances. But if they're at five and they don't trade up, there's a real chance they miss out on a guy. I mean, the Raiders are right nipping up their heels, and they look terrible. Like, they look like an absolute disaster to a degree that I did not expect with Pete Carroll. Washington doesn't need a quarterback. The Rams have the Falcons pick. I mean, if the Falcons keep losing, which is really possible, the Rams might need to draft a quarterback to develop to replace Stafford eventually.
That's the thing. It's like the Rams don't need a quarterback now, but how long can Stafford
do this? Yeah. I mean, just imagine would there be a better situation to drop a young quarterback like a Dante Moore into than that, where you're sitting behind Matthew Stafford, learning from Sean McVay, and you don't have to play right away? Like, that's just like, I don't know if there's been a better situation for a quarterback to get dropped into. But anyway, I highly recommend you guys using the New York Times playoff simulator. It also has the ability to like do odds with the number one pick, because you can play out like, if they beat this team and this team, what's their percentage chance? And so I played around with it. Right now, they have an 18% chance at the number one pick. They're probably not going to end up with the number one pick at the end of the day, but this is just like a good way of evaluating the importance of some of these games. You're on mute, Tim.
Can you tell who's the highest? Like, what is Tennessee's percentage?
They have a 44% chance to get number one pick, so pretty far behind the Titans. But, you know, I played around with it. I said, okay, let's say they lose to Baltimore. I did this because I wanted to see how important that Saints game was. They lose to Baltimore. Let's say they like upset the Falcons. I don't know for sure they'll do that. Lose to the Dolphins, lose to the Jaguars. At that point, they have 17% shot at first pick. That's not factoring in anything else from other teams. All of a sudden, the Saints game, if you lose to the Saints, you go from 17% to 27%. If you win against the Saints, you go from 17% to 1%. So
Yeah.
So you can't beat the Saints if you care about draft picks. And I know nobody's going to, I'm not going to root for them to lose. I get that. But the Saints game is kind of a Super Bowl in a way for this team, because those are two teams that need a quarterback. that are both terrible and are both trying to lose. Trying to lose. So both the first year coaches too, interestingly, like a lot of times you're not talking about teams with a new coach in that scenario. So that game in New Orleans is going to be entertaining for me, at least.
I think you root for your team to win, but then if they lose, it's kind of like the slate silver lining. We're closer. Yeah. Maybe that.
Yeah, you can do moral victories in the Jet season right now, and I think it's okay.
So there you go. Circle that one as far as most important games down the stretch. Obviously, everything matters, and if you win one of those other games, it makes that game matter less. The last thing that we wanted to talk about a little bit was, and that we didn't talk about last time, I think, because there was still really a lot of unknowns. But Chris Boyd, thankfully in stable condition. Obviously, people, I assume everybody listening to the podcast knows this, but he was shot early in the morning.
Yeah, in the abdomen.
Early Sunday morning outside after being out in Midtown. In an abdomen. It was in critical condition, now stable condition. Aaron Glenn got to speak to him this week, and you've been in the locker room, Zach. Everybody in there is thinking about Chris Boyd.
Yeah. Chris Banjo talked today. Chris Boyd is a guy they signed. A lot of fans might not even know much about him, but they signed him to be a special teams guy, like a Justin Hardy type, because that's what he's been in the past stops. And then he suffered an injury in camp. But interestingly enough, so I'm working on a story about him right now, but I was the only one who had a one-on-one interview with him randomly. I requested him because I was doing a story on Chris Banjo and I knew he was a special teams guy. And so I talked to him and I only went into I didn't go in with a huge plan when I talked to him. I was mildly unprepared, I would say. But my goal was mainly to get quotes about Chris Banjo. And then we're sitting down and he's just got so much like personality and a sense of humor. And, you know, he's asking me about me and all of a sudden we talk for like 20 minutes, which is not a short amount of time for like just a sit down one-on-one interview. And we wound up talking about more than just Banjo and stuff that I didn't wind up using for anything that I'll probably use for this. Just, you know, his frame of mind, how he was trying to be a leader in that room and, you know, how much he just loves, you know, he's been in the NFL, he's bounced around the league a bit. He had to work his way up, work his way to where he's at now, fighting to stay in the league year to year. He's he's a guy that's a special teams guy. Like there, you have to really like to fight to stick around. And, he just had a great mindset about it. You know, he's just looking around the field saying how beautiful it is and how blessed he feels to be here and how he's just trying to bring like positivity to the room and like just really great stuff. And so, you know, when I saw the news, he's a guy, I leave that conversation thinking, man, I can't wait to get to know this guy in the locker room and like do like a bigger story on him down the line. And then he hurt his, I think, shoulder. I can't remember. But he suffered an injury that they almost immediately put him on IR, which ended his season. And by the sounds of it, he's been still in the background working with the special teams guys in the room, being a good teammate. And he was out with a couple teammates, according to reports, on Sunday. But yeah, you know, when that news comes across, I was in Detroit. I took the weekend off just because it was a kind of a mini bye weekend. I think a lot of people did. And, you know, I was at the mall with my family and I see the tweet about what happened and your heart stops for a second because you're like, you know, critical condition, gunshot wound. Like those are not two things you want to hear. And so, you know, thankfully he seems like he's doing okay. I saw he posted on Instagram that he's breathing on his own finally. So seems like he's on the road to recovery. That like details have been kind of scarce. So I don't know exactly what happened or what's going forward, but everybody seems to be encouraged about where he's at. And I think he's communicated with some of his teammates as well.
Yeah. When you first see that report, you immediately think the worst, right?
Like, yeah.
So it is great to hear that he is doing okay. And according to Glenn said, it gave him comfort that he was really upbeat and it seems like he's going to pull through. We don't know what that means for his football career, obviously. Like it's gunshot wound, not great for your body overall, but most important thing is that he's alive. And we will do the awkward transition from that to our picks.
Yeah.
So
let's pull it. The Jets line is -13.5 for Baltimore, which is really significant and kind of crazy. Anytime it's double digits, I get scared. So for what it's worth, I said Jets +13.5 is what I'm going with because that seems like a big line, but we'll see.
Okay. I was going to do real picks real quick.
Yeah,
standings real quick. Jauncey had been in front for a long time. Like it was, it felt like it was almost like a wire to wire type thing. But he had a rough week. Really, his two out of the last 3 weeks have been rough. He had six in week nine, 6 points. Bounced back with a 14 in week 10, which is big. That's seven, right? And then another 6 points in week 11. So he drops out. He's only 2 points back. So only one game off the pace. But Chai Jets fan 24 is your new leader at 64-46 for the season, 58.2%. Wow. That's what I always look to on these. Is I'm impressed. Yep. Like, and if you're up there at 58.2%, I'm not supportive of gambling for real, because I think there's dangers there, even though plenty of people do it. But if you're at 58% here, I kind of hope that you're putting money on those picks somewhere, because you're making some money, but I don't know. All right, let's get to this week's.
Yeah.
Which I have not actually picked anything yet. So
I can tell you some of mine. I said tonight I have Houston plus 5.5. Houston's played really well lately. It is Davis Mills. He actually has looked pretty good to me. And the Bills have looked kind of messy. So I just don't trust their defense, and it's at Houston. So
last week though, that Bills game may have been, well, there was a lot of great games last weekend, but
that was a great one. Yeah.
In the early window was maybe the best game of the weekend.
I mean, Josh Allen had like four or five touchdowns or whatever.
He had six touchdowns, three passing, three rushing.
Right.
First player to do that since like the 40s or something.
Yep. And some of the other ones I like here, I did Indianapolis plus 3.5. I mean, the Chiefs, it feels like if they were going to turn their season around, it starts this week, but the Colts are really good. I have the Eagles minus 3.5. Don't feel great about that because they're kind of a mess right now. And the Cowboys looked pretty good with Quinnen, who, by the way, had his best game of the season, shockingly, first game with a new team. Said Bengals plus 8, especially if Burrow plays. I said Vikings plus 6.5, more because I don't have confidence in the Packers than I have belief in the Vikings. I said Browns plus 3 because I think the Vegas Raiders stink. And I said,
interesting, by the way, after our last conversation about Tankathon, that the Saints are favored this weekend.
I know. That's why I couldn't believe that. I said Atlanta plus 1.5.
Done for the year. And I don't think Drake London's playing this week, right?
He's not. So it's, I guess that makes sense, but I still said Falcons plus 1.5, not confidently though. And then I had the 49ers minus 6.5. Panthers, I still don't believe in. So I don't know. I keep picking against them. Maybe it's my fault.
I like that one. All right. There's your picks. Congratulations to the new leader in the clubhouse. We will see how things play out the rest of the season. Any final thoughts, Zach?
No, but if anybody has any recs for Baltimore for like good crab cakes or like lobster rolls or something, let me know, because I haven't really been to Baltimore before. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, really?
Other than I am getting dinner with Connor Hughes. Stay so in that part is going to suck, but
the Inner Harbor is obviously nice and touristy. And then there's I can't remember the name of the Italian area. That's up the water a little bit. Other than that,
I'll have some time to explore. So
it's not my favorite city in the world, but there are some there are some good places. I wanted to share this one. Shout out to Will and 1A. I thought this was funny in the chat. Both sick, yet still catching Jets offensive coordinator press conference. What is wrong with us? Yeah, you said it, Will.
Sick.
All right, that's going to do it for us. Hopefully when we come back and recap the game next week, I will have a voice and you won't have to listen to this. Thanks to everybody for tuning in to another episode of Flight Plan.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.